And I really believe, praise God, that we're perfect in all of our ways, and He's perfect in all of His ways, because you know what? We receive His ways, amen? We're conforming to the image of God and His dear Son on a daily basis, amen? But praise God, I want to welcome again everyone that's listening by the airways, and want to worship our beautiful bride, amen? Praise God. Judy Santel, amen. Isn't she lovely? And wasn't she a lovely bride? Praise God, amen. That's my daughter, amen. Praise God. It would, yeah. Oh, okay, Sister Young. Okay, but you still our daughter. That'll never change. you praise God. But we thank God for that. It was a beautiful marriage ceremony, and to be married by her dad and her mom, amen, her pastors, amen. It was an honor, praise God. We just thank God for His many blessings, amen. You know, the blessing of God just overtake us, amen. And praise God, we just thank God for Jesus, amen. It's in Him we live, we move, and we have our being, amen. So we're going to go ahead and open up the Word of God, amen. How many realize that the Word of God is what we need in order to sustain life in our spirit, amen? Praise God. If we're weak, guess what? We're weak because of the level of Word that we have, amen? So I want to be filled to overflowing, amen? I want to be filled with the power of God, amen? I don't just want a little trickle, but I want an overflow, amen? Where everybody, I come in their presence, they'll know. They'll sense the power of God, amen? They'll know something different about it. They'll say, I don't know, young man, but it's something different about you. They'll see the fire of God in your eyes. They'll see the love of God in your eyes. And they'll know that you've been with Jesus, amen? Praise God. That's where I want to be, amen? That's where I want to be, and I'm striving. I'm yet striving. I haven't been tamed, like the Apostle Paul said, but I'm yet pressing on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, amen? So today we're going to talk about, you know, faith. Faith is so important. And it's fundamental to getting victory in everything that we do. Amen. So, you know, Jesus said He's coming back for a church. But He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And then He also said that when He comes back, the whole world is going to be filled with His glory. But how is the world going to fill with His glory? Because the church, we're the containers of His glory. Amen. We're containers of salt and life to the earth. Amen. So guess what? Jesus is equipping us right now to walk in that power and authority. Amen? And when we walk in that power and authority, praise God, everywhere we go, the kingdom of God will come. Amen? The kingdom of God comes everywhere we go. Amen? We don't even have to open our mouth. Even if we forgot to carry our 5-pound cross on our neck, they'll still know we're Christians. Amen? Even if we left it at home. Amen? If we left our 10-pound Bible at home that we towed around, guess what? They're still going to know us Christians. Why? Because the power of God is going to radiate out from the inside of you and flow into other people. And they'll sense the presence of God. Amen. So it comes by faith. Whatever we get from God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen. So the just shall live by faith. So 1 John 5 and 4. If you'll turn to that, we're going to start right there. And faith is the fundamentals. I know in football, the teams that are really win on a consistent basis, they do good on the fundamentals, don't they, Josh? And they practice fundamentals. You lose, First John, you know, like Little John, 1 John 5:4, not the gospel. It's in the back of the book. So we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Amen. How many have realized that repetition is the mother of learning? Repetition is the mother of learning. You know why a lot of Asian countries, they outdo us as far as mathematics? Is that because their children go to school, they're in competition to go to high school. If they don't make the grades, they go get a laboring job or something like that. They're not going to go to college unless their parents are rich, super rich, and can send them to school even though they might be dumb as a rock. But I mean, if their parents buy a wing for the school, their son's going to graduate. Their daughter's going to graduate. You know, so if they're rich, they can buy a diploma. But, you know, really it's a lot of competition on whether you can go to the high schools. You got to have the academics to warrant it. So it's a lot of competition in third world countries. And the reason they know they're good in science and math, they do repetition. They do drill. They say the same thing over and over until it becomes common knowledge. They can say it without even thinking about it. So they go through the drills. They go through the repetition, the timetables, the multiplication. They know those in first grade or kindergarten. They know them. Our kids are still trying to learn them in first and second grade. But they know them. It's a repetition. And they don't play. They go to school on Saturdays. So it's a lot of competition. Even the Korean kids, they go to school on Saturdays. And so, but we in America, they go to school 5 days a week. We get into the classroom, and then we want to do everything but pay attention to the teacher. Praise God. But, you know, but they value education. In fact, Cecilia, remember when you were over in Korea? She taught English. She taught English. She worked as a chaplain in the chaplain's office. But when she got home, people would call her on our phone. And for 5 minutes, we get so many won. We used to call it our play money. She'd go shopping with it and everything. But faithfully, every month, they would send her that money. They send that money. They bring that money in. And that Wong, and she'd go shopping with it. It looked like you had a whole bunch of stacks of Wong. And she'd go out to shopping. That's where she did her little shopping for clothes in the village and everything. But they honored her as a teacher. See, they know, in third world countries, they know that a teacher, it determines their destiny, how faithful they are to the teacher, to the instructor. So they honor their teachers. And guess what? There was he was a brain surgeon. And he was coming to America on an internship. She used to teach him English over the phone. She didn't even know until the end. And she said, "What do you do?" And he finally told her, reluctantly told her, "Oh, I'm a brain surgeon." So anyway, she taught him English. So before he was getting ready to go on his internship to America, he invited us up to the Seoul. They had this, in the Seoul Tower, they had this revolving restaurant that goes around. And on the top level, and guess what? He invited his teacher up there. Then she mentioned that I was having a birthday. So guess what? They had a birthday cake out there. They had all the food just you can think of out to eat. And they really honored her. His whole family was there to honor her. And because I was, you know, her husband, I got honored too. I mean, they had food that you could, I mean, crazy food. I mean, it was just so tons of food. But they honored her. They honored her. And that was expensive. They know how to honor their teachers, amen. In America, a lot of time we're losing it, amen, because of the way kids are brought up now, not no respect, and they're not taught respect. But really, they value their teachers. They really put a value on teachers. And they paid her good money to learn English. That was her second job. So praise God. So I was too busy. I was TDY all the time on temporary duty station, so I couldn't teach it, but if I could have been stationed right there in Seoul and didn't have to travel all the time, I would have had people calling on me so I could make me some money too. On the side, you know, that was extra money, amen. Praise God. But anyway, 1 John 5:4 says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith." So it's going to take faith, amen, to overcome the world, amen. Overcome the world. Now, how many of you realize that we're in the world? But we're not of the world. So everywhere we go, we're not supposed to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to change the world to us. Amen? And you know what? Whoever you hang with, they're going to do one or two things. Who do you? If you spend your time with people on a consistent basis, they're going to do one thing. Either you're going to bring them up to your level, or they're going to bring you down to yours. But guess what? When you got faith in the Word of God and you're so full of the Word of God, they're going to see the love of God demonstrated on a daily basis, and then they're going to be won over to your faith. And how many of you realize that we're not just supposed to hang around Christians, but when we hang around the world should want what we have, amen? The world should want what we have. And a lot of times, doubt comes in our head. And how many of you realize that the devil, he can only sabotage our destiny by corrupting the word. He'll say the word, it'll be 95% truth, but 5% a lie. Just like he did Adam and Eve, remember? He said, "Has God said?" He put doubt in Eve's heart. As God said, he knew what God said. He knew what the word of God said, but he put doubt in her heart. So what happened was the devil will try to get us to doubt the word of God. And see, those fiery darts, they come to everybody. I'm going to realize that T.D. Jakes, he gets some fiery darts that come against him, against the word of God. I must realize that the Pope, you know, name any great man of God, you know, Benny Hinn, name any great man or woman of God, George Meyer, all of those fiery darts, they still come to their head. I must realize that none of us are protected. But what happens is we got to be so embedded with the word of God that when the fiery darts come, they just ricochet off of our head. They don't take root in our mind. The battlefield, as far as the victory, the battlefield is where? That's where the battlefield is. So the battle is always in the mind. So who has dominance over your mind, that's who you're going to follow. So faith, fiery darts are going to come, but we don't have to let them take root in our mind, do we, or in our heart. Now, counter to faith, so we got to counter doubt with faith, and we got to be saturated with the word of God. Remember we said repetition is the mother of learning? In the third world countries, that's how they learn. And they just know it. They just know it. If they get drilled, boom, they automatically know the answer because they didn't win over it 1,000 times. Okay? Now, let's go to John. See if you go to John 8:31, we're going to see something about Jesus. And while you're getting there, we're going to go over a little background about what's happening. There were some disciples. There were some people that believed on Jesus because Jesus preached the word. Everywhere he went on a consistent basis, he taught, he preached, and he healed. So Jesus, there were some disciples because of the word of God, they wanted to believe on him. But Jesus told them, hey, it ain't that easy. You can call yourself a disciple, but this is what it's going to take. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, these are the Jewish people now, that believed on him, and he had the most opposition from the Jews. Did you know that? The religious folks. They opposed him more than anything. The sinners, they didn't oppose him. The sinners didn't oppose him, but it was the Jewish Christian religious folks. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of the religious folks, the Sanhedrin, they opposed him. But he said, if you continue in my word. Now, if you had a paper Bible, you could just write a circle around there and put arrows around it. So continued means uninterrupted existence. Say this after me. Continue means uninterrupted existence. It never stops. Once began, it never stops. So when I get in the Word of God, I can't say, well, I read the Word of God. I know John 3:16, so I don't never have to read it again. No. Repetition is the mother of learning. The way you stay faithful in it and true in it and on fire is you continue in the Word. Now, me and Josh, we went and ate at Hardee's about lunchtime yesterday, didn't we? But guess what? Today is another day. Just because we ate yesterday, we might want to eat a little something today, though. So guess what? You got to continue. You know, our natural man would get weak if we never fed it, right? But guess what? Our spirit man needs the Word of God on a continual basis. So Jesus said it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, if you want to be my disciples, you got to continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Anybody can quote a scripture, but don't live by it and don't walk by it and say they're a disciple. No. A disciple means a disciplined one. A follower of somebody. So we're the follower of Jesus Christ. And we're Christians. They were first called Christians in, I think, in Antioch. But if we really want to be followers of Jesus Christ, we demonstrate it by continuing in his word. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Ate a chicken McNuggets yesterday at Hardee's. But guess what? In order for my natural man to sustain the weight I have and the muscles I have, oh, yeah, and I just want to give a shout out to Joshua helped me help move mom's stuff to her school yesterday, but the heaviest thing that was in there, you know, I had to carry it in the room, you know. and my baby said, "Look at you with your strong self." But I just had Josh for moral support there. truth be told, pound for pound, inch for inch, I've never seen anybody with that much strength. And you can't look at him. You really strong. You may not know it, Josh, but you're strong. You're strong. Okay. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. You're stronger, more stronger in the spirit than you are in the physical. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Knowing the word. Amen. Knowing the word. Okay, now. So let's go to 32nd, the next verse. So if we do all Jesus told us to do to prove that we're his disciples, continue in the word, right? What is the benefit? What is the benefits of continuing in the word? Okay. So I'm going to make this personal. I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. Shall make me free. So knowing the truth and being doers of the word, that's what's going to make me free, amen? I mean, there's atheists that quote Bible scripture, but they don't believe it. So it's not going to benefit them. It's not going to benefit them. So you got to be a doer, not a believer. Not just a hearer only, amen? But see, when we know the truth will make us free. See, you know what bondage is? Bondage is being enslaved to something because of ignorance. Like the slaves, they were penniless. They didn't have anywhere to go. They were dependent upon everything that the master gave them. And master gave them the scraps and stuff like that and put them on the back 40 and they lived in slave quarters. But they were totally dependent on the master for everything that they did. So they were based in bondage work. If the master was a kind master, they had it pretty good. If he was a mean, then they got beat all the time and they were treated like a red-headed stepchild and always hungry all the time. And so they maybe had a garden or something where they could, you know, grow vegetables stuff. But other than that, they just ate slop or hardly nothing. So like I say, being in bondage means you're in chains. And the reason you're in chains spiritually is because you don't know the truth. Jesus said you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? So anytime there's a lie from the devil, it keeps you in bondage, doesn't it? Anytime the entrance of your word and song brings light, right? So when we get the word of God, guess what? We're no longer in bondage in that area. It illuminates light on it, and then we walk in freedom, amen? So that's why it's important that for us to stay in the Word of God. Because the more Word of God we know, it breaks the shackles off of it. It breaks the chains off of it. A lot of times in business, they say there's a glass ceiling. And they meant that, what they meant is that you reach a certain level, and you can't go any higher. It was something that always blocked you. Always blocked you. And spiritually, sometimes it can be that way. But it was a glass ceiling. But because of because of civil rights and stuff, then the glass ceiling were broken, amen? I remember as a boy, I couldn't go to Hardee's, but I don't know if they had Hardee's back there, but whatever the restaurant was, Walgreens, okay, we know we had Walgreens. I couldn't go to Walgreens and sit at the counter and order food. They wouldn't serve me because of the color of my skin. Because of Martin Luther King and the civil rights and giving his life for it, now I can go to any restaurant and I can eat it, and they have to serve me. But it wasn't like that. See, I was in bondage. I was in bondage before. So what happened is knowledge of the truth. You know why the civil rights, nonviolent civil rights really worked? Because what happened was Martin Luther King was blessed by God, had a mandate from God to sacrifice so that the black man in America could get the same freedoms that the European Americans had, but he was willing to give his life for it. He believed in what he did, and so what happened was, see, he wouldn't violate the law. He was lawful. The law said that every man. Remember the Civil Rights Act that Lyndon Johnson reluctantly signed. because he didn't want to sign it, but he had to because they had so many riots and stuff. He signed it, and it gave every man the right to vote. It gave every man in America the right to vote. But in Alabama, remember George Wallace before he got saved? He stood there at the door, Capitol doors, and he stood at the refused to let the people vote, refused to let the people go to school, in the university of black students, and he openly defied what the Constitution gave us the right to vote and stuff. And they used to have when you go to vote, they'd have you recite the Gettysburg Address. The people at the registers up there, they couldn't have recited the Gettysburg Address. All kind of stupid stuff. You didn't make it, go home. And that's how they kept them from voting. That's how they kept them from voting. But what happened was, because of what Martin Luther King did, we all have the right to vote. Every man to vote. But see, we're no longer in bondage, right? But the reason they did it is because it was in the law, it said we had the right to do it. Say we weren't being lawful. We weren't doing disobedient to the law, but we obeyed the law. And then when we tried to obey the law and tried to vote, because the law said we can vote, then they took us to jail. Well, sometimes we got beat, we got fire hoses put on us, dogs bit us, German shepherds. But I'm saying they did. Now, none of that happened to me. But they were willing to go through that and go to jail and do what, so they can get the rights. Because what happened was the whole world's attention turned on America. And they were appalled that they were treating us like that. So it's because the world opinion asked that thing. They decided to give us our rights. But now, but anytime we get the truth concerning the situation, and then we're no longer bound. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark 6, chapter verse 5 and 6. Now, I'll say this while he's going that. The Word of God always overcomes natural law, doesn't it? Natural law says that a mother, child, is trapped up on a car. You know, let's say it was on Jack Chant, and Jack Chant fell down, and the baby was playing, and a car fell on her baby. Now, I'm talking about a 98-pound woman. And this has been documented many times. That she knows her baby that was in her womb for 9 months that she bonded with is under that car. And unless that car gets off, he's going to die and suffocate because he can't breathe. It's been documented that woman, 98 pounds, I don't care where she got the strength from, supernaturally from God, and she'll lift that car off that baby, even though she don't have the strength to do it. But she has the strength to do it because that's her baby. And that baby is pulled from up under that car and lives, you know. And it's impossible to do that. But how many realize that things that are possible to man are possible to God? Amen. See, in the spirit realm, we're stronger than what we are. We're stronger than what we are in the natural, in the spirit realm. And so what happened is the Word of God overcomes natural law. So I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I'm believing God for some things that my finances don't say I can afford. But guess what? I'm not ruled by my checkbook. I'm not ruled by my checkbook. I'm not ruled by what my bank account has. I'm ruled by the Word of God. Amen. And so when I tap into the things of God, and I do what God says, then guess what? Money comes to me on a consistent basis. In fact, Pastor CeCe has this saying. He said, "I get paid every day." And baby, you need to start saying that again. Every day, every day, every day. We get paid every day. When she said that, guess what? It seemed like every time we turned around, money was being put in our bank account. We were getting paid. This would come, a rebate. Oh, they overcharged for this. They get a check. Oh, you overpaid this. And it was just coming in. But what I believe, our confession, your confession rules you. As a believer, you're not limited to what the world is. The world is limited to going to the bank. And if the banker looks at your application, he says, "Oh, nothing I can do for you, daughter. Nothing I can do for you, son." But guess what? We're not subject to the bank's mercy. Amen. We're subject to the kingdom of God, amen? How many realize that our daddy has the cattle on 1,000 hills? If they belong to him, God has more than 1,000,000 ways to get the finance that you need into your hands. And see, so we're not dependent upon this world system. We don't have to cater to the world to get what we need, amen? Our daddy is bigger, more than enough, amen? He's El Shaddai, the breasted one, amen? So everything that we need from God, it's not determined that, what do you have on the inside of you that God told you? Guess what? If it's a dream that you can do it, it didn't come from God. But if it's something that God has to do, it came from God. And guess what? God is more than able to finance that dream. Amen? So don't give up on the dream. Pick up those dreams you had before. Realize that God is more than able. And you know what God can do? He can put on Bishop D to give Josh $50,000 to start his gym. Because see, Bishop D, he hears from God. And when he hears from God, he listens to God. So guess what? He'll come over and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me to give you $50,000. And that's with the seed money that he needed for his gym, amen? So that's how God works, see? We're not subject to man's whims and the bankers looking at our spreadsheet and our application telling us that we don't qualify. But God qualifies us, amen? I can remember many times when I was in the military raising our kids, and we used to get paid, I think, once a month maybe. And sometimes we had more month than we had money. So at the end of the month, we was eating now, but it may not have been what we wanted. It might have been, grits or rice or. But she could get a chicken wing and throw it in and make a meal out of it for all of us. But super nasty, we said, well, we got about 3 days for payday, then we'd be able to eat some kind of stuff we really like. But we weren't starving then. But anyway, super nasty, somebody would come to the door with a bag of groceries. And I said, oh, we didn't need that. If they looked in our refrigerator, they'd say, oh, yeah, you need it. But just super nasty, you know, they would just do that many times. So God always provides, amen. We've never been lacking, amen. Now we said go to Mark 6 and 5, right? And he could do no mighty works save that he laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. So this is talking about Jesus, amen. He's the head of the church. But he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So really, unbelief will keep you from doing what God called you to do. I remember I was telling you I was in Save-A-Lot, remember? And there was a guy by the name of Anthony. And he had a cast on his arm. So you could easily see that there was something wrong with his arm. I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to feel like, why would he wear a cast? Must be has something wrong with his arm. So I asked him, I said, Anthony, well, I asked him his name. He told me his name was Anthony. And then I told him, I said, is your arm in pain? And I guess he had crushed his thumb or something, like dislocated his wrist and thumb. He was in a cast all the way through his elbow. And I asked him, I said, are you in a pain? He said, yeah, it hurts. And I said, oh, wow, I'm sorry to hear that. So anyway, I got my little groceries, and I went up to the checkout. And then right before I was getting ready to check out, I said, wait a minute. He's still in the store, and he's still got pain. He's supposed to be going back to the doctor next week. You need to pray for him. And I know it wasn't the voice of God. Some say, well, what if he don't get healed? And I thought about, well, what if he don't get healed? I'm not the healer. Jesus is. So I went back and found Anthony, and I got on the side of the house so we weren't blocking anybody else. And I said, could I pray for you for about 30 seconds? He said, sure. Anyway, I prayed for him. I asked him what the level of pain was. He said about an 8. I prayed for him the first time. It was down to maybe about a 2 or something. Then I prayed for him again. And then all of a sudden he said, hey, no pain, no pain. And I told him, I said, Anthony, you know who did that? I said, Jesus did it because he loves you. I said, do you know the Jesus that I know? He said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. And I said, well, praise God. We're both believers. But anyway, he left knowing that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. He left knowing that God is alive. He left knowing that the demonstration of the kingdom of God was in power, not within sights and words of men's wisdom. We found out we're both believers. What if we got to start debating on what is right to baptize and submerge or sprinkle? we'd have been arguing till Jesus came back. Oh yeah. Go ahead, tell about that.
I don't know that much about it, but we had gone to minister to the homeless in Hemet Plaza, and everything was going good. There were other ministries out, and they were ministering to the people. And then I saw Pastor Mo in a conversation. So I think all of us, we just went around, and because he was involved in a conversation, we didn't want to stop him. But he actually wished we had stopped him because there was a guy there debating something small about, but everybody was in error or something like that, and all everybody was trying to do was minister to the poor, to the homeless.
You know, down at Hemet Plaza, you know, they have a lot of ministries go out there to minister to the homeless, but this guy was actually a homeless guy, but he had a Bible, but he was saying that all the people that come out there were wrong, he was the only one right. And basically he was trying to say that they don't do it the way the Bible says to do it. And really, come on, let's get real. Get them saved, introduce them to Jesus, and once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't need a man to teach you. The Holy Ghost will teach you yourself. But get them saved first. You know, don't it's just like in the Old Testament, the religious folk, they would strain at a gnat, but they'd swallow a camel. You know how big a camel is? But that's just religious. In other words, they stuff that didn't make a hill of beans, they would debate over. And then they stopped people from coming to the kingdom of God. So that's religious folk. So, but if we had talked about baptism or something like that, we would both probably walk away thinking we were all right and nothing would have been accomplished. His arm would have still been hurt. So, like I say, it's better to demonstrate the kingdom of God in love. Because a lot of times you can offend people. If you go, let's say you go to an atheist and you see an atheist got a cast or something on or something wrong with their foot or something, walking around with crutches or whatever. And you go to the atheist and say, hey, I'm a Christian. But guess what? He already been beat up by the Christians already, so he tuned you right on. And he can I pray for you? No. You remember the other Christian that told him he was going to hell because he was a sinner, right? But no, you can't clean the fish before you catch it. You got to catch the fish first, right? Then you can clean it. But some people put the cart before the horse. But no, you got it one step at a time. Bring them to Jesus. Love on them. Let them know that you full of the love of God, not full of the devil. You know, or just trying to promote your own agenda. You just want to get saved and then say, oh, that's one more off the notch, and then you leave them there, not undiscipled and everything. And they're in a worse state than they were before. So bring them to the love of God. And once you just say, hey, man, can I just say a prayer? And then you ain't got to tell them that you're a Christian or anything. And if they give you an opportunity to pray for you, that's when the power of God will be released through you into their hand and effect of cure. Okay, now, revelation is the knowledge, it's the transfer of knowledge from the spirit to the soul. When you, this word right here, you know what this word is when we read it? It's logos. It's a written word of God. You know when it becomes rhema? When you get a revelation of what it really means. And that in the spirit of God, when the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, transfer knowledge to your spirit, the human spirit, that's when revelation comes, amen? Because really, until you get a revelation of something, you can't really walk in it. That's why a lot of times you see Benny Hinn doing something, and then you go try to do it, it don't work for you, don't guess what? Because it's revelation to Benny Hinn, it's not a revelation to you yet. You got to wait until it gets deep down in your spirit. When it becomes revelation to you, then you can walk it out. But how many realize that if you're not afraid of failure, guess what? You will be successful. Because guess what? Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we got to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And then God can operate through us. Now, Jesus said, speak to the mountain, didn't he? Remember in Mark 11 chapter 22 through 24, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Did Jesus say, analyze the mountain? Did Jesus say, we'll get your oscilloscope and put a probe in it and see what kind of oscillation is on the oscilloscope. No, he didn't say none of that. He said, speak to your mouth. Amen. So you got to speak to your mouth. How do you speak to your mouth? You speak what the Word of God says. Amen. Let's say, I don't care what it is, you got to speak to your mouth. When God wanted the world, you know how he made the world? Hebrews 11:3, what did he do?
Spoke it into existence.
Come on, that's all I'm talking about. He spoke it into existence. So guess what? When we're commanding communicators as well. Anything we need in the kingdom of God has already been a provider, but guess what? We got to speak it into existence, don't we? We got to call those things that be not as though they are, right? So that's how faith comes, and it comes by speaking the Word of God. And we're going to close with this one last scripture. And this is from let's go to Joshua 1 and 8. This will be the last scripture. Joshua 1 and 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that I might observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then I shall make my way prosperous. Then I shall have good success. So, get into the Word of God so if we can obey what the Word of God says. It ensures our success, doesn't it? And see, what about Game of Thrones? When I watched Game of Thrones about 5 seasons in 1 minute sitting, will that get me victory? Now, it'd be entertainment, but no victory. Amen? So the Word of God, there's no substitute for the Word of God. Amen? How many, by show of hands, you can raise your hand. How many of you are so hungry for God that you'd be willing to give up Game of Thrones tonight? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yeah. But no matter what it is, if it's taken away from you having quality time with God, oh, you don't even watch it, so you can raise your hand. Okay. Oh, that ain't no sacrifice. It was something that you like. Something that you like. Okay. Yeah. Be willing to forgive that up so you can spend time with Jesus. Amen. And get in the Word of God. Amen. And when you do it, when you come out of your prayer class, you ain't got to say, well, I'm Reverend Wright Joshua Centel. No. No. They'll know that you right. You the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It'll be a glow all over you. The power of God will permeate all around you. And if they just touch the hem of your garment, they'll be made whole. Amen. Your shadow, even your shadow fall on them. So praise God. So I just thank God for each and every one. I want to encourage you that whatever you believe in God for, just stand on the Word. If the Word promises it, you shall have it. You shall have it. But be faithful. Be faithful. See, the world already think you're a fool anyway. They already think you're crazy. We're fools for Christ, right? So the world already think we're peculiar, right? We're peculiar people. But just remember, faith is fundamental to us getting anything from God. Without faith, we can't even please God, can we? So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, what you're waiting to receive, stand fast. Continue to confess the Word of God till the manifestation comes. Amen. All right. Well, y'all been good listeners, so give yourself a